LMC. You're listening to the LMC Radio Network, broadcasting out of Forestville, California, on the World Wide Web at LuckyMojo.com.
Here we go, everyone. Let's build the energy. Reverend James, hit the music.
Welcome to Mystics, Mages, and Magical Places, exploring the magical world around us only on the LMC Radio Network. There are so many fantastic, exciting, and curious things that make up this world we share. Come join us as we explore the spiritual, magical, and wondrous phenomena that enrich our souls and bring color to our days. I'm your announcer, Reverend James of FolkConjure.com, located in Western North Carolina. This week we welcome our special guest, the sensational Papa G of the Papa G's Folk Magic Studio and Aroma G's Botanica in Nashville, Tennessee, presenting Witchcraft and Magic in Pop Culture. In just a moment, we'll be joined by our host, Reverend Art of FolkConjure.com in North Carolina, and our guest, Papa G. Make sure you're logged into Blog Talk Radio to join in the discussion via the chat. Now, let's catch up with our host. Reverend Art, take it away. Oh, no. Did we lose Reverend Art?
Oh, no.
No, Reverend Art needs to understand technology, and when the mute button is hit, no one can hear him.
Oh, Lord have mercy.
That being said, welcome everybody yet again to Mystics, Mages, and Magical Places. If it's Monday and we're on the air, you know it's also Magic Mondays on Hoodoo Psychics. Take a moment. Drop on over to Facebook, leave a comment on the Magic Mondays post, and enter to win a free 15-minute reading with your favorite hoodoo psychic. So I'm really excited for the show today, but before we get into all that goodness, let's jump back over to you, Reverend James. How are things going?
Things are going pretty good. If you listen to the Lucky Mojo Hoodoo Rootwork Hour on Sundays, then you know that we have been doing a lot of crafting, making figure oil candles, and I have been making molds for new candles using silicone and clay. So, things to come.
Yeah, that was definitely something well worth watching. I never really thought just how intricate that whole process would be of making these silicone molds, but it's definitely opening up some doors to some really intriguing possibilities. So that, yeah, we'll be definitely announcing that out on the Folk Conjure and Folk Faith Ministries pages as things go. But yeah, like Reverend James says, we've been busy crafting and crafting and crafting some more. Very excited. Finally, later this week, hoping to actually finally do a live show and on Facebook through Folk Conjure and share some of the new things that we have coming up. So stay tuned. We'll be announcing that out here shortly. All right. So, you know, it's been a while since our guest tonight has joined us. Has been probably one of the busiest folks I know, running Aroma Gregory's, Aroma G's Botanica, the Folk Magic Studio. I think every time I turn on Facebook at this point or Instagram, I see his face. Just totally thrilled to have you back. Welcome back, Papa G. How are things going with you?
Good. Just like you said, busy, busy. I'm always... Roman Jesus started to do morning tarot readings, free one-card readings, and that's taken off really well. We've been doing it for, I think, about 5 weeks now. It's Monday through Friday. It shows up on YouTube, Facebook, two of our Facebook groups, Twitter, and, yeah, we were just doing one-card readings for about 20 or 30 minutes. It's actually... Even though I've read tarot cards for a long time, it's actually been quite helpful to me. It's like, oh, you got to answer this on the fly every day.
You know, I've tuned in to several of the shows, and I know several of your readers from Aroma G's have been doing the lives as well, and really, really a great opportunity. And I mean, just Nikki Jean has been on there, who's also a member with us of AIR. You know, Lady M. Nikki, it's just... Go ahead.
Yeah, Nikki does Thursdays, and Nikki is unfortunately not going to be a part of the Aroma G's team after Christmas. She's moving to Chicago. But I've got her set up with equipment, so she's going to continue to do the readings on Thursdays, even after she moves.
That's awesome. Absolutely love Miss Nikki Jean and, you know, the energy she brings to the live shows when she's there. It's wonderful to watch. And you know, you really do provide a lot to the community in the Nashville area, really supporting that the spirituality. And it's very much inspiring for myself. And I know Reverend James and I talk about our visits to your shop regularly, but a lot of great stuff going on this year from there. I know you started classes. You have your Thursday night tarot shares. Is that once a month or is
it once? It's once a month, the third Friday of each month. People come in for the divination share and practice on each other. Most metaphysical stories don't have this, and everyone always gives us praise for it, that every single tarot deck and oracle deck we have in stock has an open deck for you to play with. So if you forgot your cards, or you've never even bought cards before, you can use the open deck.
See, to me, that's just phenomenal. You know, you go to these stores, and, you know, some stores have them behind locked glass cases you know, at the very best, you know, you can at least hold the box and look at it. But that's one thing you really, you know, are able to get in touch literally with the card.
I think we're at the count of, we have somewhere, I think it is at 323 different decks.
Holy.
And you're just putting out a new Lenormand deck, right?
Oh yeah.
It came out, I think it was there for the festival. Maybe it was there right after. I can't remember. Yeah, the Good Mojo Lenormand. I finally designed a nice box for it. And I'm working on lots of other things. I'm trying to put together an actual podcast besides just video streaming. That one, unlike a lot of things I do, will be a little bit more serious, looking into all aspects of folklore. There'll sometimes be special guests. I'll be using my real name for that one. Because I have found recently a lot of people, as I usually only use Papa G, not Gregory Lee White, they're like, oh, I didn't know you wrote new books. Because that's not the name that's on the books. So it's like, yeah, I have a dozen of them here. Let me show you a couple.
Definitely have a small library on the, and I know we've added them all to our collection here as well. Excellent reads, excellent reads. You know, it's no pun intended or pun intended. You know, you really do bring a lot of magic to the Nashville area. And I'm really excited to see what the remainder of this year and into 2024 is going to bring. And I know you're also gaining a good friend of James and myself, Miss Heidi Holton. She's here with us in the chat, and we'll be moving to Nashville here soon. And we'll be joining up, Monday nights doing readings at
right.
Aroma
Tea. She'll actually take over Nikki's reading slot. And she will be the Monday night reader. So we're excited for that.
Yeah, the mountains are going to miss her. Definitely. But you're gaining another wonderful person. So just wishing her the best of luck. I know she's listening here. So hi, Heidi. I see you in the chat. All right.
And, of course,
we're
getting ready for Thanksgiving and everything like that. And, of course, Black Friday, Small Business Saturday. You know, I've already forgotten what the Sunday is. I think it's Giving Sunday and then Cyber Monday. And we have that one day off to eat turkey, and then after that, the Christmas tree goes up in the store.
And are there any, speaking of Black Friday, what can folks expect from Aroma G's over this festive weekend?
Usually we run a big sale, and it is, I think what it's going to be is 21% off everything.
Is that also going to be on the online store?
Yes. It'll be on both the website and in store. And, of course,
awesome.
Each year, too, beginning on Thanksgiving, every internet order gets a free bottle of our St. Nicholas Giving Magical Oil.
Very nice. I think I'm going to have to drop an order myself. And, you know, I just have to share this with everyone, because when you told me this, the other day, I was just kind of floored. So 980 bars of soap that you...
We lost our soap maker a while back, and I've been kind of filling in. We closed the wholesale soap part of the business, which we had for 15 years. I have become, everything's come full circle. I am the soap maker again for Aroma G. So, yeah, over the past 4 days, I made 22 blocks, which is the equivalent of around 980 bars of soap. I went through many podcasts. I listened to all
seasons
of Lucy Worsley's Lady Killers, and then even got a few of the Lucky Mojo radio shows in to boot.
You know, the Lucky Mojo Hootaroot Work Hour, this is such a wonderful show. I always enjoy every episode that I get a chance to listen to. And, you know, just having this whole experience all together, you know, Sundays with Lucky Mojo's Work Hour, Mondays with Mystics, Mages, and Magical Place. I can't even say my own show's name. Wow, I'm tongue-tied. Can you tell I've had a lot of coffee today? And, you know, Tuesdays we have the reimagined The Witch, the Priestess, and the Cauldron. A lot of great shows for people to listen to and apparently to make soap to.
Yes, that's how actually I have to do something to focus. I only like to make soap when no one else is there. Because there's always I love our employees, but there's always a question. There's always something to ask me. Then there's something else to ask me. So I go in when they've all left.
You know, in seeing the operation and having been in your soap room, I can all of the options that you provide there are just absolutely phenomenal. Love the quality too. James and I have been thrilled, literally, with everything that has come out of Aroma G's since we've had the opportunity to start swinging by. But you know, I do want to jump into tonight's topic. It's very intriguing talking about witchcraft and magic and pop culture and those influences. And I'm very certain this is going to be a very lively discussion. So we're going to break a little bit earlier than normal, and we will get in our messages from our sponsors.
The LMC Radio Network is a media alliance whose excellent shows include The Lucky Mojo Hoodoo Rootwork Hour with Catherine Ironwood and Conjurement, Sundays 3 to 4:30. Mystics, Mages, and Magical Places with Reverend Art and Reverend James, Mondays 4 to 5:30. The Crystal Silence League Hour with John St. Germain, in syndication, Tuesdays. The Witch, the Priestess, and the Cauldron with Elvira Love and Deborah Boyce, Tuesdays 4 to 5. The Now You Know Show with Professor Porterfield, in syndication, Wednesdays. And The Witch, the Priestess, and the Cauldron with Elvira Love and Miss Phoenix LaFay, in syndication, Thursdays. All time specific, add 3 hours for Eastern, sponsored by the Lucky Mojo Curio Company in Forestville, California, and online at luckymojo.com.
Support for this program is provided by the Lucky Mojo Curio Company in Forestville, California, and located online at luckymojo.com. And by the Association of Independent Readers and Root Workers, AIR, a directory of ethical and authentic conjure practitioners located online at readersandrootworkers.org. And by Hoodoo Psychics, the first psychic line run entirely by Hoodoo practitioners. Receive a reading with a trusted root worker instantly. Call 1-888-4-HOODOO or visit hoodoopsychics.com. And by the Crystal Silence League, a free online prayer service of the Association of Independent Spiritual Churches, located online at crystalsilenceleague.org. Thank you to all of our sponsors. Back to you, Reverend Art.
Thank you, Reverend James. So, witchcraft and magic and pop culture. You know, when you presented this topic, Papa G, I really was kind of immediately thrown back to some of my earliest memories, you know, when I was at that time I was just Reverend Artie and not Reverend Art. You know,
and TV
watching,
was black and white.
Well, hey now. You know, we may have only had 6 channels, and if you held the ears right, you could get one from Canada, but it wasn't color. No, just thinking back to the shows, you know, in the early 80s, which, you know, I guess you could say those was my formative years, it really did kind of color my perception for quite some time into, you know, what magic and witchcraft, et cetera, was all about. I'll let you take it away.
What made me think of this topic was usually whenever I write a book, in the first part of the book is the history of whatever the topic is. But in the past couple of books, I've also included examples of pop culture that deal with whatever topic I'm talking about. Casting Love Spells and Hex Appeal both had pop culture references in them. And then lately, I just started one. I'm getting ready to record another one on my own YouTube channel, Not Aroma G's, which is at Folk Magic Studio on YouTube. I've started, the first one I did was I started commentary on witchy movies. I did The Craft recently. So we actually sit there and watch the whole movie with you, and mainly it's my commentary where I'm telling you, okay, this is real and this is fiction. We're actually dissecting magic as we watch these films. Because I've always been a big TV and movie person. I can quote you lots of things. But there are several things. And of course, farther back, like in the 70s and 80s, anything shows that had witchcraft or the movies were always overly exaggerated with either it was all fantastical, which we have to mention Bewitched, to the horror movies were, of course, all the witches were satanic.
You know,
it's become different today. I mean, today there's a lot of real magic because people have actually done their research.
You know, it's really kind of intriguing, though, to see just how far the studios are going. And I guess we can actually take it even beyond, you know, television and movies into books and comics and all other aspects of pop culture. But people are really starting to get real with things. You know, I saw Phyllis Margaret Gilmore mentioned a movie that I remember from my childhood that I'm not sure if you're familiar with The Witches with Angelica Houston.
Oh, yeah.
You know, fantastic movie, but like you said, you know, very kind of fantastical in a lot of the perceptions that it provided. You know, it does affect, and it continues to affect the education and the dedication that I think a lot of practitioners nowadays, you know, do struggle with. You know, there's that in the perception of those outside of the realm, I guess, I don't know if you want to call it the realm or the community, is so twisted.
I think you have to be able to look at things and also enjoy them and even laugh at yourself. I mean, I'm part of that magical community. I'm part of that. I perform witchcraft, but I'm not going to get totally offended when I see the misrepresentations when it's a work of fiction. It's meant to entertain me. It's not meant to be a documentary. I loved in the because for some, like I said, for so many years, people in the witchcraft community are fighting the idea of witches are connected with Satan, which they are not. But I thought it was so funny and entertaining when The Chilling Adventures of Sabrina, which is a retake on, you know, the old teenage Sabrina show, which is on Netflix. And we find that, yes, they're witches, but witches are what? They're satanic witches. That's what a witch is in this show. I mean, they pray and get their powers from the Dark Lord. So, you know, of course, a lot of people are very upset about that. I found it very entertaining. It was like, okay, let's just embrace that. Let's just go ahead and just do that thing that you're not supposed to do.
You know, that the remake of Sabrina was, I'll just say it was my first experience with Sabrina. I was actually, I was very, very entertained throughout that series. I was praying that they would continue it. But of course, in typical Netflix standard, you know, get everybody hooked, and then after three seasons, it's done. Maybe it'll come back. Yeah. I heard there was actually a fourth season, or that was written, that was never produced. But
no, it was four seasons.
It was the fourth or the fifth. There was supposedly another season, and it got canceled because of time constraints during the pandemic.
Yeah, there were four. And there was also a Christmas special, which is quite good, which is it showed things like the Yule log and the Christmas lats, the little Christmas children that lived in the forest and so on. So they did bring up a lot of real things mixed in with the fantastical.
I can appreciate it from the
standpoint about Harry Potter. to me that's you know, pure entertainment. There's no real witchcraft in that. It's just for entertainment purposes.
See, I have to laugh because we were both like, well, maybe nobody will bring it up, but then you did.
Right, but I beat everyone to the punch.
Now, you know, I personally really enjoy the, I do a lot of studying. I do a lot of reading. I really enjoy kind of like my anthropological digging into various aspects of spirituality and magic, witchcraft, et cetera, et cetera. But I have to say, you know, it's really been refreshing to see that they are taking while they're still taking the liberties, they're still taking the time to get a lot of stuff right. You know,
probably the most right was the skeleton key.
Excellent.
Which actually did use Catherine Ironwood was the original consultant on the movie. And there's a lot. Of course, not spoilers ahead, not the part where they take over someone's body and steal their soul. But, I mean, if you look at a lot of these elements in the movie, they're very factual and authentic. Even walking in and seeing the statue of the painting of St. Martha and a lot of the ingredients they would use, which I believe were purchased from Lucky Mojo to use in the scene where she goes to visit the woman and ask about, you know, they talk about red brick dust. They use that factually.
Yeah,
a lot of ingredients.
Shop in the back of the washing place.
Yes. You have a little store in the back of the laundromat.
You know, that, you know, I really enjoyed that movie, and to sit and watch it, it was one of those things, like, I found it very kind of satisfying, not just from the entertainment aspect, but because of that factual side of things. And, you know, to know, you know, knowing Miss Cat and having worked with her and how exacting her standards are on things, you know, I think they did a very good amount of justice with that. You know, I kind of, when I sit back and think about it, I think a movie is also like, you know, The Serpent and the Rainbow.
Before you move on to the next one, Trolls, he mentioned in the chat the raccoon penis bones that are in the movie, and James mentioned, yes, they had an entire chime, a mobile of raccoon penis bones. So yeah, it's very factual, but yeah, go ahead.
But, you know, delving into, you know, I guess we're kind of jumping from, you know, like the hoodoo. It was kind of hoodoo voodoo in the skeleton key, you know, jumping over to the practices in the Serpent and the Rainbow of, you know, the zombie making and such. You know, a lot of the references from these movies I've found in folkloric texts from various regions, you know, in Haiti, even Bermuda and stuff, with the way these practices were undertaken. And I very much appreciate that they're sharing these things with the world in a way to kind of, I don't want to say demystify, because it's still, There's still the magic. There's still the essence of what's going on and in these films. But
it really does open the paths for folks. Have you seen The Serpent and the Rainbow?
I have not seen that one.
Definitely worth checking out. Based on a book that was written from what I've been given to understand, it was more meant to be more documentary style. Very good book, good movie about voodoo practice. It doesn't obviously delve into a lot of the things that initiates would really know and be involved in. But it's a good starting point to kind of have to have an idea of what's really going on. You know, have you seen Eve's Bayou?
Oh, yes.
Oh, just posting that in the chat.
Join
Which
in, Reverend
really
James.
It's just a little bit of magic and mainly a story that has a little bit of magic sprinkled in.
Yeah, but they did a good job in weaving the magic with the drama on that one. At least in my estimation. I don't want to speak for the group.
Oh, go ahead. Some people don't know too that Aroma G's, the inspiration for it, actually came from a movie. I think I've told you this before, haven't I?
I don't recall. Maybe James,
no, I remember
aware.
Hearing it, but I don't remember what it was based off of.
Okay, at the time, it was 1998. I was working as a house painter. That was what I did at the time for 6 years. This before I met Roy. And it was two things that happened at once. A friend had needed a assistant manager for the store Garden Botanica, where they worked. And it was filled with creams and lotions and oils and things like that. And they had asked my partner at the time to take it because the store was closing and they really couldn't get an assistant manager that quickly. And he wasn't interested, so I said, I'll do it, which got me interested in oils and everything. And then I saw the movie Practical Magic, in which she had her botanical shop. And I'm like, that's what I want to do. I mean, just the entire ambiance and the bottle, the brown bottles of potions and bath products and soaps. And she even says to in the movie, when someone is character is asking her what she does, and he means magically, but she says, I make lotions and soaps and shampoo. So that is actually what got me interested in it. And for people who have read the books and seen the movie, there is no Bath and Body or shop like that in the book. I did contact Alice Hoffman, who wrote the book, and told her about the beginning of my company. And she sent me back a nice note when it started. So, yeah, I bought Aroma Gregory in 1999, and then it was just a couple of years later I met Roy, and he at the time I was just doing flea markets and things like that and pop-up shows, and Roy is actually what together we transformed it into something big. But the inspiration came from the Sandra Bullock and Nicole Kidman movie, which Schulte actually put in the Art, you did. Diane Weiss, Soccer Channing. That was the inspiration for Aroma G's Botanica.
I'm just going to put this out there that after seeing that movie, I really wanted that life. And that house and aunties just like Diane Weiss and Soccer Channing. That was probably one of the more formative movies for me along the magical path.
in that movie. Go ahead.
No, I can see the influences with the way Aromagees presents to the public. I probably could have guessed that. Now that it's one of those things. Now that I'm looking back, I'm like, you know, it was right there in front of me.
But and there's parts of that movie too where are, you know, some parts are fantastical, not too much. They keep it mild. There's other parts that are very real where I do like the part where someone is at the back door. She wants the aunt to cast a love spell. And like many of us who are magical practitioners, the Diane Weiss character asks her, are you sure you wouldn't find better to find something like one better suited versus casting this love spell? So they're actually giving this very practical advice that many people who do spells for people, warning, hey, are you sure you want to go this route? How about we just find you the person who's right for you, which I do myself to many people.
That's actually, you know, when I do teaching and, you know, one-on-one coaching and different things of that nature, I do use that scene as something, as an example of, you know, because there are practitioners out there that will pretty much just take your money. You want it, you got it, they don't care, pay me. You know,
James brought up in the chat, wasn't it the line, I want him to miss me so bad it hurts. It was, I want him to want me so much, he can't stand it. And in the book, how much are we censoring on Blog Talk? I'll put a blank in here. In the book,
we're
he
not.
Actually, kind of, well, put a, oh, we're not censored? Okay.
No.
Do we have restrictions? In the book, it is a couple of years later where she comes back to the aunt and insists, the little girls are outside, she insists, they come out, they said, he won't leave me alone, he won't stop beeping me. So yeah, that was like, and their response was, this is what you asked for, I made sure that's what you wanted, you said yes. Now you're stuck with it. Get out of here.
You know, I think when we talk about practical magic, that Troll T actually mentioned this in the chat too. You know, one thing I really appreciated about it too is it really, you know, how it does have that cautionary tale, that cautionary stance, because that is that's one thing that, you know, I'm sure you and, I mean, Heidi, who's joining us, we've actually discussed this. You know, sometimes people, you know, you just get asked for these things and it's like, is that really what you want? Actually, a picture on Facebook recently, it was just the tarot cards laid out in a big N-O.
Yeah.
I'm like, that meme, I laughed way too hard at that meme. But, you know, when the cards are telling me what I don't want to know or something of that nature. But, you know, it just goes back to, you know, really the magic is not something to play with. It's not a dabbler's world, at least, you know, in my estimation. You need to know what you're going for. You need to know where you're going with it. And you need to be very damn clear in what you're asking for.
Another movie I found interesting when I was researching before I did the commentary for the YouTube video, when I commented on The Craft, and many of us call it the crap, because when it came out, I'm like, what are they talking about? What's this god? Because they're actually asking a god, Mano, for powers. And the research in researching it actually showed the producers created this pagan god because they didn't want to offend anyone by using a real one. So they made one up. So that was actually pretty cool. They didn't want to offend the magical community by using one of their deities, so they made a deity up.
And, you know, from an entertainment perspective, I can definitely respect that, you know, especially, you know, in a lot of ways, there's so many communities that are very protective of their rights, their traditions, their gods, goddesses, deities at large. So I can respect that, but the craft for me remains probably a little bit more. I think that one leans a little bit more on the fantastical side for me. You know, when we look at it,
I mean, they do go to the extreme, but there's karma in there. They just show the effects of karma, where they actually are casting one guy to love stone on some guy, and then he won't leave her alone. So she's stuck with that, another one to get revenge on someone who was racist, and then the girl's hair starts to fall out, and then she feels guilty. So it's like, before you cast this, make sure it's what you want to do, because now that you're guilty, you can't put her hair back in.
Yeah, see, I think a lot of the stuff that Sarah did in the movie, like that particular hair spell where she took a bit of the other girl's hair and wove it into the girl's hair that was being attacked.
Which was Rachel True.
Who does
have a tarot deck out, by the way.
I think that was just really neat. That's more of something that I would figure is more like, you know, sympathetic magic kind of thing, instead of, you know, the whole this is to feel, this is to be glamour magic thing.
Right. Because in the remake, which was total crap, well, it wasn't really a remake, it was sort of a continuation. But yeah, that was just a bunch of glitter.
I don't think I've seen that.
I think I fell asleep watching it.
Now, if you ask Reverend James, I fall asleep at literally everything we watch. So I've missed the ends of a lot of really great movies.
One thing you mentioned, which go back to Practical Magic for just a minute, which we're all disappointed in the part, because they had a witch on staff to make sure they got things right. And they're casting the spell to bring Jimmy back to life. Of course, we're not going to do that one. But they're calling upon Hecate. And they call her Hecate. Mighty Hecate, make it right. We're like, I'm cringe every time that part comes. Where was that? That resident witch was on lunch break. And they were filming that scene.
You know, that, I can't help it. I giggle about that every time I see it. I hear it. It is what it is. And it's on film now. But it helps to have that person on staff actually be there during the witchy scene. You know, I actually very much appreciated how they did the banishing at the end of the show, you know, forming the circle and so on and so
right.
forth. That really kind of held some weight. Very much appreciated that they showed that. But I do.
And of course, we all love their Book of Shadows.
Of course.
Yes, it's like a beautiful collage.
Which Reverend Roy actually purchased for me for my birthday a couple of years ago, an exact replica of it, blank, for me to write in. But yes, it even has the three deacons, where the three sections of the book.
That's
phenomenal. I've seen that for sale before. That's really neat.
You know, speaking of books, I think one of the more fun pop culture references that has kind of had a hell of a rebirth, despite being very much over the top, Hocus Pocus.
Okay.
Have you seen Hocus Pocus?
Oh, yes. What are you, nuts? but I'm interested to hear any real stuff out of that one. The Virgin and the Black Flame Candle.
You know, the funny part is, as I was, I don't want to say growing up, because I actually never saw the movie when it first came out. I'm one of those ones that kind of got on the cult classic bandwagon with it. But a lot of people that I've talked to in Druid circles and Wiccan covens, and a lot of solitary practitioners quote that movie as being the sole source of why they got into practicing magic in the first place.
Really? I wonder what kind of magic they're practicing today.
I mean,
hopefully they went beyond that.
Well, definitely. Well,
I wonder if their book shoots out a beam and they can't find it, sort of like Apple. Find my phone.
I would love that for my car keys. But, you know, it really kind of struck me, though, the level of, I mean, it was a fun movie. You can't deny that. And that it influenced that many people. And, I mean, I was going to, you know, expos and fairs and pagan moots and things all over in like New York and Pennsylvania and Ohio. And I was hearing this common theme, and it really kind of surprised me that that's the movie that did it for them. You know, with all the rest of what is out there, that's the movie that said, this is what I'm going to do. This is the path I'm going to take. But I don't think a pop culture show would be complete without at least a little reference to Hocus Pocus for, you know, letting people be their witchy self.
You know, jumping back to the craft, something that I've seen translate into actual covens and gatherings that I've been to is the whole creating a circle. So it is better that you should rush upon this blade than enter the circle with fear in your heart. How do you enter? With perfect love and perfect trust. I've been to quite a few coven gatherings where that same phrasing is used.
Right. So, yeah, there are real more Wiccan elements in that movie that are actually based on fact. You know, another one was, which this one was a little bit cheesier. I still liked it. Was Drag Me to Hell.
Okay.
Where it was actually, you know, she was working in a bank. She couldn't give the woman a loan, even though she wanted to, because she was going to lose her house, and the woman curses her. It's a Lamia demon. They went straight a little bit from what that is, because the Lamia demon is actually, it's this hermaphroditic demon that's found in Greek mythology, who actually like would seduce men and devour children and things like that. But she actually had to go to a brujo to get rid of it, because it was actually more of, it was unusual. It was like gypsy magic that cursed her, and they had to go to, you know, Mexican, South American magic to get rid of it.
You know, it's a little bit of a cross-culturalism in that, but you know, it was a fun movie. And it you know, it kind of, to me, it didn't broach that over-the-topness, though. I mean, obviously, you know, portal opening and yada, 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 that kind of thing. Not something that we're really going to be experiencing anytime soon.
Really? You've never been to a portal opening party?
No, and the next time you have one, you better invite me.
Everyone backs their trucks up to the forms of the circle. Brings grills and snacks, and at the end they open a portal.
You know, tailgate to hell. Anyway, now, so
That was actually pretty good art. I think you should write a book on that. Maybe at least an article, Tailgate to Hell.
Stay tuned. Coming soon. Another movie that probably it helped to kind of solidify for me a little bit more on crafting with intention and bringing me along on the magical journey has to be The Witches of Eastwick.
Oh, yes.
We would be remiss to not bring this movie into the conversation.
I was reminded of that yesterday whenever we were, when Miss Cat was talking about the cherry spell to remain friends forever. When she mentioned cherries, that's where my mind immediately went, was to Witches of Eastwick.
Which is also sympathetic magic. They're all sitting around eating these cherries and spinning the pits while they're talking about, just because they're talking about it, is throwing up cherry pits.
In church.
No. He did it in church. She did it at home. Jack Nicholson,
right.
they did the same thing to him at the end. But also they formed a wax puppet, which was very, they even burned their petition. Yes, and put it into the wax puppet because the Cher character was the sculptress.
Yep. And the process is very, pretty much appropriate, to what they were. To that type of magic. I was very surprised to kind of see that. Hollywood being Hollywood and really trying to throw out all the bells and whistles. They got that part down pat very well.
Well, also the original scene where before the Jack Nicholson character, which is supposed to be the devil, where they're all sitting around discussing the type of man they want to show up in town because there's no one around there they're interested in. And then they all describe his features and his traits and his characteristics. And the premise of the movie was when these three people got together, that's when things happened, which is often used in witchcraft and people do things in threes. They get three people together. It's not always like in the craft where you needed earth, air, fire, and water, but which is what summoned him to begin with, all of their wishing for this person, and all of a sudden he shows up.
And, speaking of the power of three.
Charmed.
Can't forget Charmed. Charmed is one of those ones that it was definitely that entertainment value. Great show. Absolutely loved it. Reverend James and I even watched the, I don't want to call it a sequel. It's the kind of the reboot of it. And really, at first it was kind of like, where's Piper? But the second Charmed really kind of, it did pick up very well. And I liked how the reboot kind of tied in a little bit of the scientific side of things, experimentation.
Because one was a scientist.
Right. They maintained that level of skepticism, that I really feel that a lot of people don't really have that are seeking practitioners and end up getting taken by the charlatans that are out there, for lack of a better way to put it.
But Charmed to me is a complete guilty pleasure. I used to love watching them. I'd sit there and actually, you know, I just hold my pendulum watching the show and just watching how they would scry with the pendulum. And she's just whipping that little son of a bugger around. And I'm like, how do they ever find anything?
Yeah, and then it magically, magnetically connects to wherever they need to go.
Right.
And just, bam, right there onto the map or onto the book or wherever the hell they were, whatever they were looking for. That I would laugh every time that happened. But, you know,
sometimes they would get it right. There was an episode where three people in Phoebe's college class are trying to cast a spell to get dates for Valentine's Day. And she happens to overhear them. She's telling you, formulated the spell backwards. She's like, first you say what is lacking, then you say what's needed. And they had had it in reverse. So, of course, when they read it back the way she did, it worked. So this is actually in when you're doing a rhyming spell. It is true that you should first say what you lack and then what you need.
You know, they really did kind of bring to me, they did bring that wordsmithing that comes with crafting a spell. As you know, in hoodoo, a lot of times we will use Bible verses and, you know, these obviously well-documented spiritual verses from different aspects to in furtherance of whatever the goal is at any point in time. But for people, like, I don't know about you, but I have a lot of clients that don't necessarily follow like a Christian path or, so they kind of have like this blockage for using these forms of spells. I actually have referred a lot of people to, you know, it's like pay attention to the craft, or not the craft, the of Charmed. To I read the craft said craft, but listen to how they form these spells in Charmed. You know, really kind of work with that, and a lot of folks have achieved some good successes from that.
There's another thing they brought into popular culture, and feel free to correct me. I've read this in many different places that people didn't actually, they just didn't call it that or something. Late in the later episodes, like season, I think, seven, something like that, when they started having children, when Piper started having children, they brought about, and I think this brought it into our culture, the awakening, which was a form of baptism for witches, for newborns. And I believe actually today people now do that, when before this thing they made up, it's sort of like all the Star Trek stuff started coming to life in our
right?
time.
We
all have tricorders in our hand now, called an iPhone. So, yeah, it was a form of Wiccan baptism, which was a Wiccaning. And now people actually do that 25 years later.
Yeah, just about now. You know, it's – and that kind of goes a little bit, though, to the strength of pop culture in almost reverse engineering some aspects of magic and spell work and witchcraft and such. You know – I see the struggles and I see the fights between people that have been more or less pop culturally indoctrinated versus having grown up with a craft. You know, you see the arguments breaking out in Facebook groups and things of that nature, but it's you bring up a very good example actually of how some of this reverse engineering is getting in there and kind of worries those who sometimes, while there are some that are justly considered to be gatekeeping, others are just genuinely concerned at maintaining the origins. You know what I mean?
Right. Troll Team mentioned in the chat, which reminds me of a meme I saw just the other day. Charms was on the heels of Buffy for their content. Fewer vampires, fewer Hellgates. I saw a meme the other day which says, you were either Team or Team Charmed. You weren't both. And it's true. I never watched Buffy.
I actually watched both.
So. Well, the meme doesn't apply to you. Skip and scroll past that.
I was Switzerland in that battle.
One I do want to bring up, just in case anyone has never seen it, because it is so good, was Penny Dreadful.
Oh, yes.
That was really good.
And was it Eva Green, I think, was the main, she was the main, the actress was the main character. And, of course, that brought all sorts of, it had everything. It had Jekyll and Hyde. It had Frankenstein. It had vampires. It had witches. It had werewolves, all based on the, you know, the name was based on, that's what these chapter books or whatever were called, these small publications you bought for a penny,
right,
were called Penny Dreadfuls.
Yeah, that was, you know, a lot of people don't realize the history of it. You know, they thought there actually was somebody named Penny Dreadful that kind of wrote these things. But no, those were, you know, a lot of people forget once upon a time that we didn't have streaming, we didn't have cable, then we didn't, you know, we didn't have network television. You know, there was a time before radio. And the Penny Dreadfuls were kind of like the dirty little pleasure sort of stories that, you know, send a chill up your spine. I've tried collecting as many as I could.
Scene.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, I'm sure you liked that part, the seance scene.
I very much did.
and also, it's like, oh, come on, I've tried that. I can't do it. The way she would fan all of her tarot cards out on the table. It's like, I can't accomplish it. How did she?
I practice the hell out of that, and I still can't get it. Every once in a while, I still try it. But to this day, still have not mastered that skill. That was another show that definitely I felt was, it ended way too soon. They could have done so much more. You know,
right. I love the part, there's a couple of episodes where she goes to live with the old witch who teaches her things, even down to how to snare a rabbit.
You know, it was intriguing though when I was watching it, because, you know, Penny Dreadfuls were the pop culture of their time, and here we had this show. It was almost like this meta level of, it was pop culture that within pop culture, but it did get a lot of the magic stuff and the spiritualism stuff right in a lot of cases. You know, obviously when you weave in Jekyll and Hyde and Dracula and Frankenstein, et cetera, et cetera.
Dorian Gray.
Dorian Gray. Oh, Dorian Gray. Such a great character. You know, that, It's one of those shows that it was very unsung when it was on. And if anyone has not watched it, it's well worth a watching. Couldn't recommend it.
And of course, there's so many of us. I brought this up in the beginning, and there's so many people that still make Bewitched references. I mean, we all, you see something, you're scrolling through Facebook and someone has a difficult task ahead of them, and they talk about, I wish I could twitch my nose and make this happen. I mean, you still have that reference to this day. Even Reverend Roy, his when he receives a text message, it's the nose twitch sound that appears on it, that it sounds on his phone.
I can't say I'm surprised. but that's somebody, Reverend James and I were just talking to somebody recently that was talking about the same thing, you know, that, you know, she's been still trying to practice to get her nose to twitch the same way Samantha's did. I can't remember who that was now, but again, it lives on. I mean, the magic in Bewitched pretty much straight
made up.
Yep. But
who wouldn't like to teleport to another part of the world just for lunch with waving your arms?
You know, but entertainment value definitely up there. And another question, show for you. Did you watch Salem?
I did. Roy watched it first and got me to watch it. And then, yes.
I think I had higher hopes for it than where it went. It very much did tie that whole witches are satanic.
I just couldn't get into it because I thought the acting was pretty bad. I thought the characters were very one-dimensional. It's like the main character was like all she was bad. 24 hours a day.
You know, I don't think it not only did it not really kind of get magic or witchcraft very correct, I think it was more just for the gore factor than anything else. If this was what is it? Ebert. It would definitely be a thumbs down for me. Why can't I
remember
Siskel and Ebert?
Right. Which I never enjoyed those movies. Roy said he saw them when he was in high school, but I did not watch things like Nightmare on Elm Street and stuff like that. I never enjoyed stuff like that. I mean, I do like movies that are more thriller that have like hauntings. I love the old show A Haunting. There was an excellent movie with Michelle Pfeiffer and Harrison Ford, What Lies Beneath, which was about a ghost.
That honestly was a wonderful movie. And, you know, I'll just share a really quick story. For anybody that has seen What Lies Beneath. Friend of mine, first time we were watching it, I actually didn't see it in the theater. I was watching it at a friend's house who had a very large screen TV and always had to have the top model. So, I mean, this was a big-ass TV. Surround sound system, like when the water was dripping in the sink, you heard the water dripping. It sounded like it was right behind you. And I get engrossed in what I'm watching very, very much so. And the ghost came out of the water and my SOB friend had a spray gun, a water gun, and sprayed me. I jumped over the railing and I was out the front door before I realized what happened. So
it was a very Hitchcockian, is that a word?
Actually, I think
ghost story.
You know, if we wanted to bring the pop culture references and movies about spirits and spiritualism into this too, I mean, we could definitely go on for hours and days. Getting a little bit of reports in the chat about
some strange sounds in the background. I think we're good now.
I don't hear anything here.
But what do we have? Sleepy Hollow had witches and spells in it. You know, I can't watch. People are going to laugh at me for this one, but I really have not been able to watch Sleepy Hollow because Christopher Walken freaks me out.
Yeah, I don't care much for him either.
There's just something about him, you know, and he appears in the weirdest damn places. You don't expect something to happen. All of a sudden, poof, there's Christopher Walken. I will shut that shit off so fast. Something about him, he freaks me out. I'm sure he's a wonderful actor, though. For all of maybe, I think, the 5 minutes that I've seen of his acting. Even Batman.
Yeah, we may have to do this again because I am thinking of more things. Because we just got Lady M the other day to watch. She had never seen Poltergeist.
Oh, wow.
Oh, my God.
So, yeah, we may have to do this again with hauntings and spirits. And
yeah, that little lady from Poltergeist is Velva Rubenstein, who's also in Teen Witch.
Right.
She was a sweetheart. Absolutely adored Zelda Rubenstein. You know, fantastic actress. And she brought so much to Poltergeist. We're going to have, we'll book that, Papa G. We are going to do hauntings and ghosts in pop culture. This house is clean.
Crossover, children.
Go towards the light. Mm-hmm. Oh, my goodness. And it'll probably, well, yeah, watch it just turn into an hour and a half show of us doing cheesy quotes. We could probably do a show on that, too. You know, I think, though, we'd be a little bit remiss on talking a little bit about music. Pop culture, you know, from a pop culture standpoint, I know we talked a lot about movies and TV shows, and I saw Heidi Holton had to leave. But, you know, just how much, you know, witchcraft and magic has influenced in music. Heidi she has some fantastic songs that, you know, capture hoodoo in various essences. She has a whole song on the Crystal Silence League too, but music in large part, I think, kind of gets overlooked. You know, we'll get caught up in a beat. We'll get caught up in, you know, a melody. And it's almost like the words just kind of disappear, but just fantastic, fantastic examples. I guess one thing I can say, you know, Miss Cat compiled the Hoodoo Jukebox, which I'll listen to that, you know, as often as I can. Yeah, that now song titles are starting to show up in the chat. You know, Troll T, I put a spell on you. So there we go. Still
like witchy woman. I think the House of the Rising Sun is. What is that? What is that actual song? Is that, that's not the name of it? Is it? Yes, it is. From White Buffalo.
Now, I'm like singing it in my head, trying to get, you know. And you talk about things like, I mean, there's White Rabbit. You know, through the, you know, all inspired by Alice in Wonderland, which had a weird kind of twist on spirituality, supernatural phenomena. There's some magical essences, not so much witchcraft in Alice in Wonderland, but, you know,
Love Potion music, number 9.
You know, just how much these things have kind of peppered the pop culture scene. Trollty's listing them out for us.
You know, there was one that Reverend James brought up, which I meant to come back to, and something just reminded me. One of my favorites, Midnight in the Garden of Good and Evil.
Yep.
Oh, yes. Miss Minerva.
Which we actually have that bird girl statue in our backyard.
I did see the pictures that you had posted online about that, which, you know, that's one of those, it's a very subtle movie that kind of breaks in that the concepts of magic and performing these spells with intention and, you know, beware what you ask for, cautionary tales as well. You know, it has all those elements. Was a very, very good movie. The book, excellent, and still to this day, I want to travel down to Savannah, Georgia, just to see these sites for myself. And a lot of people didn't know that a lot of the people from the book are actually actors in the movie. These people existed in this book. This was not, it wasn't straight up 100% fiction.
Oh, oh yes, I knew Lady Chablis.
That's a story I'd love to hear.
She was hilarious.
I think
I spent a weekend with several friends, and she was one of the ones that spent the night there. It was we just stayed up all night laughing.
Oh, I couldn't even imagine. That's phenomenal. But, you know,
the one part in that movie, though, about with magic, which I found interesting, is when they go to the graveyard to do the graveyard work. And she talks about the half an hour before midnight is for good magic and the half hour after midnight is for evil. Because she was actually on the grave of her husband, her late husband.
Oh, yeah, I remember that.
Can't forget Miss Minerva.
And she asked him, she asked the Kevin Spacey character, did you bring the shiny dimes? And it was water that had not passed through pipes.
And Schulte brings it, you know, the rising and the falling of the clock hands, which is a very traditional aspect of spell work that you find in a lot of different traditions and cultures. Very well portrayed, I felt, in just that. It's such a simple scene. It you'd really almost miss it if you didn't.
Oh, and then the powders when she sits down in the courthouse, that was another one that kind of got me.
When she had him cross out the eyes of the judge, fold the paper and put it in your pocket.
You know, that whole scene kind of brought a little bit of a Doc Buzzard sort of feel when I first watched it.
Well, that was his name. That was her husband's name in the movie.
Yeah, but knowing,
but from, not the real one. Yeah, not the
right.
Real one.
And from what I understand, it's still very contested as to whom the real Doc Buzzard was. But that movie, very subtle but very powerful in what you could really learn, honestly, about.
There was one single thing where a lot of people probably skipped over, where it addresses reincarnation, where Minerva is sitting on the bench feeding he's being nuts to a squirrel, and he starts chattering at her, and she's like, she just shooed him away. She said something about, I remember you when you were a hustler on Beale Street.
Yeah, it's a little
flavors. She called them flavors.
you know, it's really interesting to me, though, because that brings in a little bit of the, when you think about, like, the Buddhist aspect of reincarnation, too, with, you know, going from human down, you know, to a squirrel. Troll T actually just mentioned another movie that I love. Did you see Stardust?
I did not see it. You'll have to take that topic. That wasn't the one where someone was a fallen star, were they? No.
Yes.
Yeah, that's it.
Is it? Okay, I saw part of it.
You know, it was one of those things. I actually, I guess, for lack of a better way to put it, I actually watched it accidentally because I was watching one movie. And it happened to come on next, so I guess that shows you how old it is, because I still had cable at the time. And I hadn't even realized until it was probably about a half hour, 45 minutes in, and it really started to catch my attention, and I stopped everything to watch it, and then had to find out when it was going to be on again. But, you know, it was, in effect, another very kind of, in a lot of cases, very fantastical in its magic and its portrayal of witchcraft. Michelle Pfeiffer was the big bad witch in the movie.
Was Claire Danes the main character? I can't remember.
Yes. Yes, okay. She was the fallen star. But again, you know, it very much held the entertainment value because it had the Hollywood going on. But it was another movie that allowed people to be able to, you know, to see another aspect, another example of that the caution tales and how not to have revenge in your heart. So it was a very, very good movie. One to catch up on, Papa G.
There's also one I don't want the younger crowd to miss, which was Kim Novak, Jimmy Stewart, Bell, Book, and Candle. Did you ever see that one?
No, I haven't.
Where Kim Novak is a witch, and it's actually, and Sol Sachs will actually tell you he came up with the entire concept of the witch from watching that movie. Her aunt is very Aunt Clara-like. She even looks like her. But it is where, it's supposedly in the movie, witches can't actually fall in love. If they do, they will lose their powers. And she, Kim Novak, owns a like a cultural shop where she has all things from all over the world, like African masks and things like that. And she wants to lead a normal life and cast the love spell on Jimmy Stewart.
I've missed this movie, and now that will be added to our list of things to watch, and has one of my favorite actors in it, Jack Lemmon.
Yes. Yeah, he's actually, of course, that term warlock, which that's a totally different subject. But
definitely going to have to check that one out. Thank you. I don't know how I missed that, but I think it would be fun to. Oh,
no! And Troll T mentioned I Married a Witch, also an older, much older movie.
That one I did see, and actually Troll T mentioned another one that I had brought up with in our chat the other day, Warlock.
Yes, with Julian Sands.
I found a lot of that to be very, very kind of, you know, obviously we weren't going to be, you know, rendering the fat of a virgin child to make flying potion anytime soon.
You don't know?
It's a Nashville thing, apparently. but, you know, it to me, you know, growing up in Pennsylvania and to watch the tie-ins with, you know, the Amish culture and how they were painting the hex signs on the side of the barn because, you know, they saw all these signs that there was a warlock near. You know, these things still exist in, you know, Pennsylvania Dutch culture to this day. You know, I was very intrigued by this movie when I first heard about it, and then after watching it, I'm like, wow, they did a really good job with I'd say a good 50% of the magic.
And I know we're about to run out of time, but to throw in the Wicker Man.
Which version, Nicolas Cage or the earlier version?
Both. I mean, that has very, very pagan elements in it.
Yeah, that's true.
Very much so.
A lot that they got right. Of course, a lot they got wrong. But I did enjoy Ellen Burstyn as the high priestess in the second. I did like the Nicolas Cage version.
I kind of felt that they stayed kind of true to the story, but I honestly thought that they got it a little, just a smidge more right in the remake.
And someone, Phyllis, brought up Midsommar. That movie is freaky.
Here's another one I've never heard of.
Midsommar, which was very Wicker Man-ish.
And now on my list. Oh, wow, we really are going to run out of time today. And we're going to have to talk about our pop culture and hauntings. So sometimes probably.
Right.
But, you know, that's all the time we have for tonight. I really hope everyone enjoyed your time with us this evening. And until next time we meet, keep the magic alive. Take us out, Reverend James.
Thank you, Reverend Art. And thank you, Papa G of Papa G's Folk Magic Studio and Aroma G's Botanica in Nashville, Tennessee, for joining us this week. We invite you to join us next week when we'll be joined by Doc Murphy of RootDocMurphy.com in the Twin Cities of Minnesota and Paganistan for the primetime event Doc Murphy versus the Occult AI. We've come to the end of this episode of Mystic Mages and Magical Places brought to you by the Lucky Mojo Curio Company in Forestville, California on the LMC Radio Network. Keep up with Reverend Art and Reverend James. Visit FolkConjure.com and like and follow at FolkConjure on Facebook and Instagram. They can also be found on the Lucky Mojo forum at forum.luckymojo.com, on readersandrootworkers.com, and on Hoodoo Psychics. I am your announcer, Reverend James, joining you from folkconjure.com in North Carolina. Mystic Mages and Magical Places can be heard every week live on Blog Talk Radio at 4 p.m. Pacific, 7 p.m. Eastern Time, and the shows are available in archive via mysticmages.com/radio show and on the Lucky Mojo forum. For all of us at Mystics and Mages, I'd like to thank you for being here. Be sure to like and follow at Mystics Mages and Magical Places on Facebook and at Mystics Mages Magical Places on Instagram for updates and news. We'll be back next week at this same time. Come sit a spell. Wink, wink. Relax and enjoy the show. We've only just begun. Thanks, everybody. Good night.
Yep, you heard
good
that
night.
Right, folks. Next week, we're going to get this going. Doc Murphy versus the Occult AI. The AI will not win round two. So definitely tune in. Might have a couple special announcements to make next week, too, with Doc Murphy here on the show. Always love having her. Thank you, Papa G, for bringing this topic. Really looking forward to doing the Pop Culture in Hauntings show. Thank you, everybody. Many blessings. Have a wonderful week.
Good night.
Good night.